Good evening. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and I am so excited about tonight's show. Tonight, I have a very special guest, and he's not only a guest, he's a good friend who I've known for a long time. His name is Richie Orenstein, and he was producer of the Joe Franklin Show. I want to begin by telling you a little bit of history about who Joe Franklin was. Some of you millennials may never have heard of him. Joe Franklin, born Joseph Fortgang in March 9th, was an American radio and television host personality from New York City. His show began in 1951 on WJZ-TV, which later became WABC-TV, and moved to WOR-TV from 1962 to 1993. Now, WOR was a local New York station, but I think it covered a lot of area. Richie can verify that in a moment. Franklin was born in the Bronx, and as a teenager, he followed around Al Jolson and Eddie Cantor, the latter of whom eventually began buying jokes from young Franklin, and whose Carnegie Hall show later he produced. At 14, Joe began writing skits for the Kate Smith Hour, and at 16, he officially began his entertainment career as a record picker on radio sensation Martin Block's Make Believe Ballroom, where he became known as the young wreck with the old records. He was considered to be an authority on popular culture the first half of the 20th century, including silent films. He was also called the King of Nostalgia and the Wizard of Oz. I think that's cute. I love the Wizard of Oz. He focused on old-time show business personalities. Franklin was also a pioneer in promoting products such as Hoffman Beverages and Canada Dry Ginger Ale on the air. A&E's documentary, It's Only Talk, The Real Story of American Talk Shows, credits Joe Franklin as the creator of the television talk shows. Joe was listed in the Guinness World Book of Records as the longest-running continuous on-air TV show host, more than a decade longer than Johnny Carson's run. After retiring from his television show, Franklin concentrated on his overnight radio show, playing old records on WORAM on Saturday evenings and mentoring thousands of aspiring entertainers who for decades sought an audience with him in his notoriously cluttered Times Square office. Oh boy, I've been there so many times, and was it ever cluttered? Up to the ceiling. Franklin's celebrity interviews appeared in the daily Bloomberg radio network until mid-January of 2015, shortly before his death. Let's introduce him with his theme song. And that was the 12th Street Rag by Pee Wee Hunt. And if you remember, some of you must remember that little ditty as the Joe Franklin Show came on the air. And tonight we have his producer, Richie Orenstein, as our guest. Good evening, Richie.
Hi, thank you for having me, Joey. We appreciate being with you. You are terrific, Elizabeth.
Well, I love that song. Every time I hear it, I think of Joe.
How could you not?
And now the purple dusk of twilight time steals across the meadows of my heart. High up in the sky, the little stars climb, always reminding me that we're all far, far away, leaving me a song that will not die. Love is now the stardust of yesterday, the music of the years gone by.
Gone
Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a soul.
That was Billy Ward singing Stardust. I'm so glad you're here.
I'll tell you, Elizabeth Joyce, I am thrilled to be on with you. It takes me down memory lane, and that was one of his favorite songs, who had on Mitchell Parrish, the man who wrote that song, the words of the song, and he told Joe Franklin that was the most recorded song in the history of music back in the day. Something like 1,500 different people made that song over the years, Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra. But Elizabeth Joyce, it's just an honor and a pleasure to be with you.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you, too. I've missed talking to you. So anyway, that's great that Stardust was one of the greatest. I wanted to start with Joe when he was young, writing skits for Kate Smith.
Oh, absolutely. He was one of the writers for Kate Smith and Eddie Cantor, and he loved it. He loved music. He loved everything. And when you mention him starting out when he was about 14, 15 years old with the make-believe ballroom, Martin Block, that's how nostalgia really started. And Elizabeth, what he did was he actually created his own business. What he did was Martin Block said, Joe, I'm going to give you 15 minutes. Don't conflict with any of the music that I'm playing. So what did Joe do? Take stuff that was old. And he would play that, and he would go on and tell the people how valuable these records were. So Joe used to buy the records for something like a nickel or a dime. He went back to the same store, and then the guy said, well, you know, that record is going to cost you a dollar. He said, well, I was paying a nickel last week. Oh, I heard this guy on the radio, Joe Franklin. He says these are valuable records. So he created his own nostalgia business.
Oh, that's great. Well, Joe was well-loved by everybody. He really was. Let's listen to a little bit of Kate Smith. I know that some people have never heard of her, but boy, when I was younger, my parents loved her. That's how far back it goes, right, Richie?
Oh, she was terrific. What a great voice. And no one could do it like Kate. She set the pace, that's for sure.
Well, I have her doing an Irving Berlin song called God Bless America.
Good to be back.
Kate, my goodness, she had her own show for quite a while, didn't she, Richie?
She certainly did, and that song is played at most of the baseball games and different sporting events. People don't even know who Kate Smith is or was, but they know she had a fabulous voice, and she sang the song the way it was supposed to be sung, and just an incredible legend, that's for sure.
Well, she was in the 40s, and there was also another show that was in the 40s called Ozzie and Harriet.
Oh, my God, what a great show.
And, you know, the first time that we ever had any other kind of dreamy music was when Nat King Cole recorded in 1949. And then Ozzie and Harriet came forth. And didn't Ozzie have an orchestra, Richie? Weren't you telling me about that?
I heard about it, and it was incredible. And naturally, Elizabeth, I heard it from Joe Franklin, because I never followed it until he pointed it out to me.
Well, anyway, I know that from that point, from the Ozzie and Harriet show, and the new stars coming in, we went into some kind of different music rather than the ballads and the big bands. And it started with who? Ozzie and Harriet, right?
Absolutely. Ozzie and Harriet started it. And then the big bands were in. There's no doubt about it. And then later on, your friend and you, Dick Clark, that was where American Bandstand started the dancing. And that started a whole new craze.
That was a little bit later, but there was... Ozzie and Harriet had two boys, David and Ricky.
Yes.
Ricky was the younger one. So in the early 50s, around 52, before Elvis, before Connie Francis, before all the other guys, he had a son that grew up at about 16. He wrote a song. And you know what they say? They say that it is the first rock and roll song. Ricky Nelson wrote it. And Ricky Nelson sang it, and it's called Poor Little Fool.
I used to play around with hearts, hasten at my call, but when I met that little girl, I knew that I would fall. Poor little fool, oh yeah, I was a fool,
poor little fool, I was a fool all night.
She'd play around and tease me with her carefree devil eyes. She'd hold me close and kiss me, but her heart was full of lies. Poor little fool, oh yeah.
Now, Ricky Nelson really was the first rock and roll singer, but we had people come in real fast behind him. Tell me about Joe Franklin and Elvis Presley.
Well, that's an interesting story, Elizabeth, because a lot of people don't realize that the first appearance that Elvis made on TV was the Joe Franklin Show. And he got his start right there. He brought his guitar, and Joe claims that he even had Elvis's guitar case that he left it in the studio. But he was on the show with Jimmy Rogers, who had Honeycomb fame, and that was the beginning. And when he went on to Joe's show, the Dorsey brothers, Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey, were doing a summer replacement for Jackie Gleason called Stage Door Canteen. They saw him on Joe's show. They called up Joe, and Joe gave him the colonel's number, the colonel who was handling Elvis Presley. And they called the colonel up, got him on their show, and from there, he was seen by Ed Sullivan's people. And Ed Sullivan's people put him on, and that put him on the map right after Ed had him on. And that was the beginning of the beginning of the beginning. And that was Colonel Tom Parker who was responsible for setting everything up. And Joe always said, Ed Sullivan was a funny cat. He said that I'll never go out of style because I don't have any. And he said, as long as other people have talent, I'll have a great job.
That's great. And you know, Joe beat Dick Clark because Dick never had Elvis on Bandstand. So that's pretty good.
That I didn't know. Yeah. But I'll tell you who Dick Clark had on. He had on Elizabeth Joyce, the twins at the time, and they were a smash hit. And we loved watching them. They were just great. And you know who they are, right?
I certainly do. Twins. I think I'm half of that.
You better believe it. And then he had on the Tony twins after that, and it was all one big family, the Elizabeth Joyce family.
Well, the Tony twins were my older sisters, and they were on Arthur Godfrey, Your Show of Shows, the Edwin Hour, and all kinds of, they did live television commercials. Which twin has the Tony? That was before me.
Oh, I remember it well.
That was in black and white TV before everyone had a TV in their home. Let's listen a little bit to Elvis singing Heartbreak Hotel.
Well, since my baby left, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that Heartbreak Hotel where I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely, I'll be just so lonely, I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom. Be so, I think you're so lonely, baby. I think you're so lonely. You're so lonely, they could die. Keep flowing, the desk clerk's dressed in black. Well, they've been so long on the street, they'll never look back. And think you're so, think you're so lonely, baby. Well, they're so lonely.
And you know what, Richie? Nobody knew too much about how to dance to these songs. They kind of around and looked at each other until young Dick Clark, I think he was 27 when he started, came on What American Bandstand. Here's that theme song.
We're going hopping, hop. We're going hopping today. When things are popping, pop. The Philadelphia way. We're going to drop it, drop. On all the music they play on the bandstand. We're going swinging, swing. We're going to swing in the crowd. And we'll be clinging, twing. And floating high as a cloud. The phones are ringing, ring. My mom and dad are so proud. I'm on bandstand. And I'll jump and hey, I may even throw up my handstand. Because I'm on the American bandstand. When we dance real slow, show all the guys in the grandstand. What a swinger I am on American bandstand. We're going hopping, we're going hopping today.
Oh boy, does that take me back. You know, Dick Clark and Joe Franken were friends, right? They talked on the phone a lot?
Absolutely. They were very good friends. As a matter of fact, Joe said when he started, he had an opportunity to do a music show, but he thought that people wanted to see people talking to each other, and that's how he started a talk show, because he was the very, very first one, as you well know, to do people talking to each other when they were looking for pratfalls and all types of different type of humor from the silent films. And Dick Clark came around, and he decided to put dancing together, and he hit a smash home run. Everybody copied off him after that.
That's true. Well, he really made sure that the music got out there and got documented. That was Dick's gift to all of us. But, you know, Joe would have on like Danny and the Juniors or Bette Midler way before they had their first hit record. And sometimes I heard through Dick Clark that Joe would recommend that he have somebody on that was first on Joe Franklin.
That's correct. You know, everybody would jockey it about. And Joe said, look, I was fortunate that I was the only one doing a show, a talk show back in the day. So people didn't have much of a choice. They came to me if they had a record out, if they're going to make a movie, wrote a book, sing a song. He said they had no choice. So I was the one. That's how he had a lot of these people on at the very, very beginning. And we're talking about it goes all the way back to starting with Elvis, Bette Midler, Michael Jackson, and the Jackson 5. They won an amateur night at the Apollo Theater in Harlem, New York, and Joe was the first one to have them on. He had Garth Brooks on when Garth Brooks was selling cowboy boots. He was fortunate. Bette Midler started on the show. Barbara Streisand was his singer for many years.
Barbara, I know, but she did back in the day when she was sleeping on mattresses. She used to say, I had no place to
right.
live. I sleep on a mattress.
Somewhere you're right,
in Brooklyn.
You're right.
Well, you know, right. I want to tell you about my parents. My parents hated rock and roll, and they were all Al Jolson and Al and the big bands, you know, Tommy Dorsey. But they said rock and roll would never last. But you know what? Chuck Berry, Danny and the Juniors said something different. Here's what Danny and the Juniors said.
It was meant to be that way, though I don't know why. some of that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it. It's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me. If you wanna dance with me. I have no kick against.
And then there was the other one that came right behind. That was Chuck Berry, by the way, with Let Me Have Some of That Rock and Roll Music. But Danny and the Junior said rock and roll is here to stay. And I wanted to tell you another story about Connie Francis. It was New Year's Day. I think it was 1958 going into 1959. And we were on American Bandstand. It was New Year's Day, and we were dancing, and this song came on, and it was a song called Who's Sorry Now? And it was Connie Francis. It was the first one that Dick Clark had ever played, and Connie was home, and her father loved that song. And he had Dick play it without her knowledge, and then like had the television on when they were eating lunch, and all of a sudden she heard herself singing Who's Sorry Now on American Bandstand. And that's the first time that they ever played Connie. Connie became absolutely world famous. Here's a little bit of Who's Sorry Now.
Who's sorry?
Wonderful, Richie. Did she ever go on Joe Franklin's show?
Many, many, many times. She was sensational, great voice, personality, beautiful person. She just was terrific. She had that natural cry in her voice that very few singers have. And she had a feeling. And the thing I never knew that was an old-time song before she even made it. I thought that was the first time when she made it, but people were singing the song when it came out. I'm saying, how do these people know the song? Oh, when I was a kid, I heard that song.
It goes back to 1929. That's when it was first written. And then she recorded it at her father's request.
Right. And the great thing is, meanwhile, Chuck Berry, rock and roll music, Connie Francis, they're all still doing it now. And that's what we love.
I know. And you know, there was a night, Dick Clark went on to the Saturday Night Show, and right. He would have that every Saturday night, and down in Atlantic City in the summertime. My parents and I went down to Atlantic City. We were there because my sisters were singing for the Miss America pageant, and so we got to go to the Saturday Night Show with Dick Clark. And that night, they had Janice Harper, Danny and the Juniors, Lou Monte. But there was a party afterwards. And at that party, there was a young man standing in the back of the room. And I'm the type of person that likes to find out who young men are in the back of the room. So I went back and I met Bobby Darin. And he was at the party, and he was there to tell Dick about a new song that he wrote called Splish Splash. Remember that one?
Sure, Splish Splash. That was a tremendous song. And his mother was instrumental in the writing of that song. Her name was on the label with his.
Mm-hmm. Well, he did that. And, you know, do you remember Gene Shepherd?
Sure. Are you kidding? Fabulous
Gene
voice.
Gene Shepherd was good
great
friends
man.
With Joe. And he knew Bobby Darin as well, and he had a friend that was a songwriter and wasn't doing very well, and he put a song called "Was There a Song for Me" on the back of Mac the Knife.
Uh-huh.
And it was funny, and that so his friend, of course, did very well with that. But Bobby would always call me at home, and my father wouldn't tell me that he called because my father didn't particularly like him. And so when they asked if he could put "Was There a Call for Me," Bobby called me up and said, "I'm dedicating that one to you."
Beautiful.
There was another time he called up and he said, "I'm writing a song. What do you think of it?" And I said, "I don't know, sing a few bars." And of course he sang, "Dream Lover, where are you?" I can't do it very well. Let's listen to Bobby do it.
No, you did it great. You did it great. You're going to do the next one.
Every night I hope and pray a dream lover will come my way. Girl to hold in my arms and know the magic of her charms. 'Cause I want a girl to call my own. I want a dream lover so I don't have to dream alone.
Now that was Dream Lover. He wrote that just before he went out to Vegas with George Burns. Did you know that story?
No, I didn't.
He went out to Vegas with George Burns to open the act, and he got better
right.
known at that point.
But he was just terrific, and a good friend of Joe Franklin's name was Saul Richfield. He was a public relations man that did handle Frank Sinatra and Bobby Darin, and they were working in Las Vegas. It may have been around the same time you're talking about, and he took Bobby over to meet Sinatra without telling him he's going to meet Sinatra, and they became best of friends.
Yes, they did. A lot of people would say, oh, Bobby was a Sinatra wannabe, but that wasn't true. They just had a different style, and I respected both of them very, very much.
Well, yeah, and they were both sensational, and both had not a similar style, but they had that natural way about them. That's what made Bobby so great, and naturally, Frank lives on always. He's just fantastic.
Well, the King of Nostalgia, I absolutely love that nickname. And that's always called, right?
Well, you're right, and it all happened because of Martin Block. When he gave them that 15 minutes to do his own show, that's what brought Joe, giving him Nostalgia, Memory Lane, and all that, and Joe would start out. And as you well know, Elizabeth, that he had that pleasant way of talking. That's why people, when they would meet Joe Franklin in the street, they wouldn't have any hesitation going up to ask him for his autograph or shake his hand, speak to him, because he would start off, "Good evening, my friends. This is me and you. We're going to take a little trip down memory lane, laughter and tears throughout the years, and let's make new memories. I like what you like. You like what I like, what we like. We like alike." He had that pleasant way about him that made you feel extremely comfortable. And keep in mind, he did a five-hour show every single Saturday, and that's after he did his TV shows at WOR-TV.
I know. Do you remember you and I used to go in on New Year's Eve, and we would reminisce about Dick Clark and American Bandstand, and we'd name whatever we named as a singer, he would have the record there.
Without a doubt. He knew it. And you got to remember one other thing about Joe, many things I should say. He was there before computers, before Google. He had this stuff in his head. He knew these things. When he had somebody on, whoever it would be, Fay Wray, it didn't make a difference. He knew who they were married to, what movies they made, their birth date. everything. He was just an unbelievable genius when it came down to memory lane, memorabilia, and little facts.
I know. And wasn't Deanna and the Belmonts on his show?
Oh, are you kidding? Of course. Because Deanna and the Belmonts were from Belmont Avenue in the Bronx, and Joe Franklin was born in the Bronx, and he liked all the Bronxites. So he certainly had them on many, many times. And then we had, after Dion went on his own, and I believe he's down in Florida now, we had the Belmonts on doing a Christmas segment. And they were just terrific and all great, great, great people.
They were. You know, we're gonna have Frank and Barbara a little bit later, but right now it's time to take a break. And I think what we'll do is we'll go out with A Teenager in Love by Dion and the Belmonts.
Time we have a quarrel, it almost breaks my heart, 'cause I'm so afraid that we will have to part. Each night I ask the stars up above, why must I be a teenager in love? One day I feel so happy, the next day I feel so sad. Yes, I learned to take the good with the bad. 'Cause each night I ask the stars up above, why must I be a teenager in love?
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And now it's time for our cosmic tip. What's happening next week, February 20th through 26th, 2017? This week brings a potentially dangerous new moon solar eclipse that carries two difficult aspects from Mars. The eclipse on the 26th is the latest in a series of Pisces Virgo eclipses, and it'll be the last one for another 9 years. A solar eclipse represents new beginnings coming from a deeper soul level. However, this one also represents endings since it's the last Pisces eclipse. You can easily open up to a higher vision, but need to be prepared to burst any illusions that you're holding. There are several big challenges from Mars between February 22nd and 27th, so don't try to force a square peg into a round hole this week. There are challenges coming up by the middle of the week through the end of February, so accomplish any important tasks early in the week. Monday is an easy day with the moon in positive thinking Sagittarius and several happy lunar aspects. When the moon is happy, most people are feeling good and happy too. These happy planetary relationships are positive for the U.S. President's Day holiday on Monday, the 20th. If you like to shop on this holiday, it would be best to do so before mid-afternoon. After that, time is better spent doing humble tasks like laundry, setting the table for dinner, or cleaning up your desktop. Not so good for important actions or decisions. There is an ease of communications on Tuesday, so take advantage of the mental support before challenging energies arrive overnight into Wednesday and beyond. Mars squares the Moon and Pluto on Wednesday, which happens every 2 years and occurs twice in one cycle. The first one in this cycle was on November 19th, 2016. Of course, that was right after the presidential elections. And now it's happening again. Mars, the warrior, challenged death and destructive Pluto on Wednesday and aligns with explosive Uranus on Sunday at the eclipse in Pisces, which represents water, on the 26th. Thursday and Friday support social interaction, with Thursday being a good business lunch day and Friday being better for two and for romance. On Saturday afternoon, the 25th, both the Moon and Mercury move into Pisces, making for a more gentle Saturday night. Movies, music, dinner out, fantasy romance, and spiritual activities are all favored. While this energy can make you incredibly creative, it leads you into murky waters with communications, as you might not be able to be logical or clear. As this energy increases, it brings the possibility of use of military force, as well as possible severe weather challenges. Even more fuel is added to the fire when Mars lines up with unpredictable Uranus in Aries. This is a time to lay low and pass through the best you can, and not a time for changes. This late February solar eclipse will complement the themes that were found on the February 10th lunar eclipse. Together, they act as an eclipse phase, which will last through the eclipses of August of 2017. Remember, Pluto helps you to be in your power by releasing that which needs to go away. Uranus opens you to innovative new ways of thinking, while Jupiter helps you take it to a larger level. For the next several days, as February draws to a close, be willing to stand up for yourself and put constructive energy into your ambitions. Just don't get obsessive, and remember that a higher level of patience may be required of you at this time. So lay low and be extra careful until March arrives next Wednesday. This is Elizabeth Joyce. Now, let's get back to Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I would like you to be a guest on my BBS radio show, Let's Find Out. It's a live internet radio show on BBSRadio.com at Station 2. We discuss holistic health modalities, ESP, psychic services, New Age books, and much, much more. BBS Radio has a great worldwide listenership, and we utilize an over 6,000 name email list every week to promote our guests. This is really a great way to advertise yourself, your business, your interests, your books or products, to promote yourself and your website and gain credibility. You will love this. Being on the air is really a lot of fun. The show is an hour long, and you can talk about yourself and promote your gifts and your talents any way you please. We will create a list of 15 questions or more that I will ask you during the show to focus on that which you want to promote. I would love to book you as a guest for the show. We are on Sunday nights live at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If this sounds like something you would like to do, please send me an email for the Let's Find Out agreement form and all the details. My email is elizabeth.joyce.bbsradio@gmail.com. We are now booking air dates between February and May of 2017. Thank you for your... This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I have just completed my new book, Unlimited Realities. I have completed Unlimited Realities, which is my life story, on the eve of me entering my golden years. It's a memoir. It's the life of a gifted seer and healer. When I was 8, I became ill with a touch of TB. We lived in Ridgewood, New Jersey, but mother had grown up in Warner, New Hampshire, where her mother and family still lived. I was shipped up to Grandma's to live for a year, which was the beginning of the saving of my soul as well as my life. Grammy Hempel was a fourth-generation shaman, born on a small Indian tribe in the state of Maine. During that precious time, I learned so much. Grammy taught me integrity of the heart. There, in the Mink Hills of New Hampshire, I received my first nurturing. I felt the touch of God's love, the glory of the animals, nature, clean air and water, honesty, integrity, and most of all, self-responsibility. I came to see that the mark of true wisdom is twofold. First, it encompasses every aspect of our being, body, mind, and spirit. Second, it touches our personal lives as well as our relationships with family, community, and the world. This book, Unlimited Realities, a memoir, is a page-turner. There are many, many spiritual stories over my lifetime, and I'd like to share them with you. Most of them are very uplifting, and they may show you how you yourself have your own psychic sensitivities to create your own unlimited reality. I would love you to read it and share to see how spirit works through the unfoldment of every day of our life. Unlimited Realities can be purchased at my website, www.new-visions.com, and after March 1st, it can be purchased on Amazon.com as well. Pick it up. You won't be able to put it down.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com. Station 2. If Internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live Internet radio talk show on the planet. It's Let's Find Out. An honored guest come every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471 in the U.S. and Canada. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
Start spreading the news. You're leaving today. Tell him, Frank.
I want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
Your vagabond shoes, they are longing to stray
and step around the heart of it. New York, New York. I want to wake up in that city that doesn't sleep
and find your king of a hill, top of a heap. Your small town blues, they're melting away.
Gonna make a brand new start of it in old New York.
You always make it there. You make it anywhere.
It's up to you.
Well, that was my two buddies, Chairman of the Board Frank Sinatra and his cohort, Tony Bennett. Now, Richie, tell me the story about Frank and Joe, because I know they were good friends.
Yes, and I got to mention another radio personality who was responsible for giving him that name, Chairman of the Board, William B. Williams, if you remember the name.
Yes, Willie B.
Willie B. is the man who gave him the name, especially when he was on the downside. Willie was bringing him back. And I remember Sinatra calling Joe up one time after a TV show saying, Joe, I watch you all the time. I love your show, but you got to drop a few pounds. I want to see you lose a little weight, Joe. He was great. And then on the 40th anniversary, he sent a beautiful picture. Dear Joe, congratulations on your 40th anniversary. You're catching up to me, Francis Alvord, a.k.a. Frank Sinatra.
Oh, I know. He was really good to the people. Frank was one in a million, and he's still chairman of the board. His music is timeless, and I love it. You know, I have almost every record he's ever done, Richie. I have his first one. His first recording was in 1939 with Tommy Dorsey, and it was All or Nothing at All.
He was just great. He had a great way about him. Personality was fantastic. He was... That, like they said, Frank Sinatra made you think. Songwriters said that everybody thinks the song was written for Frank, no matter what song he did. You know, and his best friend was a man named Jilly Rizzo.
Jilly, sure, in New York.
Yeah, and Jilly had a bar, I believe, on 54th Street, and that's where Frank met him back in the day. And they became great friends, and he would wind up in Jilly's, and he had Judy Garland come in there, Tony Bennett, all the celebrities would hang out there, and they get up at the microphone without being announced just to have a great time. Sammy Davis, you name it, they were all
there. They'd ad-lib, and sometimes they met people that would come in with new songs, and that's how some of the new songs got together.
Exactly,
they'd go to Jilly's.
Exactly.
And they'd say, was a person that wrote a song for Frank, and he was my friend, Paul Anka. Paul Anka started on American Bandstand in 1958 with the song Diana. And Richie, the first time he was on the show, my parents would take us down and they'd sit in the back and watch behind the cameras. And Paul was about to go on and he goes running along the back and he trips and he fell right into my mother's lap. And
she loved him. That's something.
For years, and he came out and he sang Diana. But I have one of his that we dedicate to both him and Frank Sinatra. And the reason that I picked Paul was because I love Paul. I used to know him and see him again when I worked at Atlantic Aviation. And he'd come in and I'd show him all the old bandstand pictures. And he would sit with me and I made up a couple for him to keep. And he loved it. So he's a wonderful guy. When I went out to Vegas, I went out to his the opening of his nightclub called Jubilation. And he had a show at Caesars. And I went and he introduced me to the audience and took me down front as one of the bandstand twins. And it was a very wonderful night. So let's listen
to that. But do you know the history behind Diana? Who was Diana? I'm not sure, really. But you may know. He wrote that song.
He wrote the song. I think it was before he met the woman that he's married to. He's been married a long time. They have five daughters. But it was somebody that he knew and just wrote the song for as a teenager.
I thought it was a babysitter.
I don't know.
One of the stories I heard, that it was a babysitter named Diana. And he wrote the song about her. But then again, it may have been somebody that he was with back in the day.
I'm not sure, but that probably, the babysitting story could be true. But let's listen to Paul sing My Way.
I love it.
Hello. Thank you. Arigato gozaimasu. Domi toisho moshita. Thank you. And now the end is near, so I face the final curtain. My friends, I'll say it clear and state my case, of which I'm certain. I lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way.
Well, that's my way. And you know, Richie, thanks. I just finished writing the book, and you wrote the foreword for me. I am so grateful, Unlimited Realities, and I said I did it my way.
I love it. And the great thing is, he was on the Joe Show right after Paul Anka wrote a book, and the title was My Way, and Frank Sinatra also had that on his tombstone, My Way.
Because Paul did actually write it for him, as far as I understand it. So, the book that I wrote is my memoir, and it goes over all of these wonderful things from Bandstand. And I wrote how I dated Bobby Darin, and I wrote some details, and Paul Anka, too. I consider both of them lifelong friends.
That is great, and they are, and I'm sure they appreciate it, that's for sure.
Now, there was another lady that was on your show back in the day when nobody knew the name. And how did you spell it? Streisand? Nobody knew her name. Tell us about her being on Joe's show.
Well, she was a little bit before me. And I remember Joe met her, loved her voice. She was a regular singer on his TV show. And I remember there was one time he had her on with Jack LaLanne, Joe Naturally, and one other famous singer at the time. And they said they had Make It or Break It. And she became more famous than everybody that was ever there. She had a fabulous voice. He introduced her at the Village Vanguard down in Greenwich Village, New York City. And that was the beginning of a great friendship.
And, you know, when I was younger, I used to sneak out and take the train into New York City and meet Bobby Darin. And we would sit around with Frankie Valli and Frankie Avalon and Neil Sedaka. And everybody wanted to know when they were going to get famous. Nobody was known back then. And we would talk about music and about what we could do and what could be a hit, what wouldn't be a hit. And that's when I told Bobby that he needed to record a classic to get his name down. And he decided on Mack the Knife. That's what he did Mack the Knife when he was with George Burns out in Vegas. And they fought him. They didn't want him to do Mack the Knife. They said, oh, it'll never do anything. It's from a three penny opera. But he knew it was a classic, and he did. What a job he did, right, Richie?
Sensational. He was just one great voice, personality. And again, he was sort of on the Frank Sinatra style back in the day, without copying Frank, but his own way. But he just had that mannerism like Frank did. And it was just fantastic.
He did Mack the Knife. He put such a swing to it. He had his own way of doing his own rendition of the song. That's what made it special. You know what happened with Splish Splash? He went out to get a drink of water, and they had cups there. And he put the water in the cup, and he stirred his finger around the water, and he heard, whoop, the water whooping. Whoop, 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 whoop. He says, oh, I got to put this in the song.
Very good. Very good. A little trivia, that's for sure.
Let's listen to early Barbra Streisand with Ray Charles.
Oh, it's crying time again. You're going to leave me. I can see that far away look in your eyes. I can tell by the way you hurt me, darling. Oh, baby. But it won't be long before it's crying time.
Say, baby.
Oh,
even then she could make that voice work.
Incredible. What a fabulous voice. And what a team. They were just sensational. Ray Charles was on Joe's show many, many times. And I was fortunate to meet him on a plane ride with Joe. And he gave us an autographed picture. And he signed it, "I Can't Stop Loving You, Ray Charles." And he tells the story about one of his hit records, What I Say. If you remember that song, What I Say, one of his big hit records. And he said
record.
he was playing in a restaurant, and the owner of the restaurant came up and said, "Ray, keep playing because the people that were supposed to be on for the main act aren't here yet, so could you keep playing?" So Ray said, "Well, What I Say, What I Say." And then the people started to say the same thing that Ray said, and that's how he made the song What I Say.
Oh, that is such a neat story. Well, it's been wonderful having you on tonight. We are running out of time. But let's say something special about Joe. What would you like to say about Joe Franklin?
Joe is one of a kind, Elizabeth, a special person who set the pace for many, many people in the business, well-loved by everyone. He was the king of night radio. He's the one that started the night radio. He went on for 5 hours from midnight to 5 a.m. Plus, his TV show was on at night, late at night. He made people, like Joseph said, I put a lot of people to sleep every night. They go to sleep with me. He had that pleasant way about him, a gentleman that will never be forgotten. And we're getting ready to replay the old Joe Franklin TV shows. We're working on it right now.
So oh, before you so know fabulous. It,
you'll be able to take another trip down memory lane.
You had to have at least 400, didn't you, Richie?
That's exactly right. Easily 400. And all the people that started out, Jay Leno, we're going to have a lot of special people, Rich Little, you name it, people that you haven't heard from in a long, long time. You'll get a kick out of it, that's for sure.
You also, didn't you have John Inoko on?
Oh, yes. That was before me, but I remember Joe talking about it many times. Inoko was on after John also. And he had them all on. You know, he set the pace for everybody.
Nelly, Julia Roberts, Child. Bruce Springsteen. Oh, Robin Williams. Wasn't Robert Williams on the show?
Robert Williams was on with the fellow from Taxi, the guy that played, I forget which one it was, and he had them on together. I mean, Joe had just about everybody could think of at the very, very beginning, giving them a break. Their first exposure would be on Joe. They could play. They could do whatever they wanted. And he let them get away with it. That's why Billy Crystal did a spoof on him on Saturday Night Live.
I was going to just say that.
Yeah, and then when they asked Joe, what do you think of Billy Crystal doing you on Saturday Night Live? He said, well, I'll tell you the truth. I have a TV show and a radio show on Saturday. I didn't get a chance, but when I first saw him, I said one thing. One of us is lousy.
Now, he also did the Marilyn Monroe book. Did he know her personally?
Yes, he knew her very, very well. And that was in 1953. It became a super collectible because only about 300 editions got out in 1953 because the owner, the publisher, passed away during that period of time. And that became very, very collectible. That was the first biography of Marilyn. And in all the books that you see, they always mention that that was the first one with Joe Franklin.
Oh, that's so neat. Thank you, Richie, for so much for being on. I'm going to look forward. I'm going to go to MeTV and see Joe Franklin. And thank you again for doing the forward to my book, Unlimited Realities. It'll be out next month. You know I'll send you
okay,
a copy.
And Elizabeth, thank you very much for having me. I enjoyed it. You did a fantastic job taking us down memory lane once again.
And we'll have you back. We'll talk about other stories. Thank you so much, Richie. This is Elizabeth Joyce. Usually we have a meditation at this time, but I have a surprise for Richie Ornstein. We're going to close the show with Bette Midler singing From a Distance.
From a distance, the world looks blue and green, and the snow-capped mountains white. From a distance, the ocean meets the stream, and the eagle takes to flight. It's the voice of every man. From a distance, we all have enough, and no one is in need. And there are no guns, no bombs, and no disease.
They're the songs of every man. God is watching us. God is watching us. God is watching us from a distance. It's the love of loves. It's the heart.